chapter 4. You should have a lesson. I want to take the next few weeks and do a series here on Wednesday nights entitled Putting on the New Man. And we want to be able to grow and mature in our walk with God, and certainly want to be becoming more and more like Christ each and every day. And Paul in the Ephesians chapter 4 highlights some things that ought to be prevalent, things that ought to be changing in our life to help us become more Christ-like. So putting on the new man, tonight we're going to look at putting away lying. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former a conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth unto his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that which is good, and that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one towards another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Well, Paul says an awful lot in those few verses as he concludes chapter 4. Of the book of Ephesians. It's easy to see that he's focusing on us changing and becoming more and more like Christ. In verse 17, he says that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. When you get saved, immediately there ought to be a change in your lifestyle, and your conduct ought to be changed. We don't live like everyone else does because we've been born again. We're a new creature in Christ. And then he reminds us that in verse 18 that those that are not saved are still walking in darkness. Their understanding, their concepts about life are still confused. And they have not come into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And so you're saved, then certainly you ought to walk in the light as he is in the light so that we can have fellowship one with another. And then he kind of draws this conclusion before he goes in specific things about this new life that we have. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's your conversation is the old word that deals with our lifestyle and how we live. And he says we need to put off the old man because he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so there is nothing in our past life that is pure and holy, nothing in our past life without Christ that is not corrupted by this world. And so he says, now that you're a believer, now that you're saved, now that you're born again, then you need to put on the new man because of the fact you're not the same person you were. Put off the conversation, put off your old lifestyle. And then in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so we need to put on the mind of Christ. And he says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So true holiness is me living in a way that I'm modeling or patterning my life after Jesus Christ. And I'm certainly not going to evaluate life in light of what I used to be. I'm not going to say, okay, well, now I'm a Christian, and so, but I think I can be a Christian and live like I used to live. I have to acknowledge the fact that God made a difference in my life. I was born again, and I was transformed. We're studying that in Sunday school, transformed by the power of God in my life. And so that means everything in my life from that point of salvation on ought to be changing and becoming more and more like Christ, because the more I put off what I used to be, put off what the old man was, I'm embracing the new relationship that I have with the Son of God. And so I'm putting on his character traits, his thoughts, his processes of living life, so that I might be able to bring glory to him. And so it is a continuing process that takes place in this matter of conforming to the image of Christ, in this matter of putting on the new man. It's not just a matter of a one-day decision and say, okay, well, I'm saved, and I believe Christ is my Savior. That's an immediate birth that takes place, but it's a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Christ. And every person is at a different stage of growth in their life. Every person is a different position in relationship to whom Christ is, but we all should be moving closer and closer to the Lord each and every day. When a baby is born, that baby is new life. It's birth life. You don't want that baby 20 years from now to still be that baby that was born and having to feed it and have to change it and have to take care of it. No, you expect that child to grow up, start taking care of itself. Well, we're supposed to be born by the Spirit of God into the family of God. We are a new creature. We're new life. But that life grows and matures and develops as we put off the former lifestyle and we put on the new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that brings us down, just some introductory thoughts, bringing us down to our first verse in the series of messages, and that is verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And so in light of the fact that you're not walking and living as other Gentiles, in light of the fact that you have put off the old man, the former conversation, and put on the new man, in light of that, Paul says, now there's something you need to be aware of. You need to put off or put away lying and speak true, every man truth unto his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So putting away lying. I thought this was interesting. I was doing some research on this, and they say that statistically, a child, by the time they are age 4, 90% of children have already grasped the concept of lying. And it's an amazing thought. As I was reading that statistic, I was just thinking of dealing with kids. And in our Christian school, you know, we have four-year-olds in there. We started four-year-olds, and it's just interesting. Sometimes the teachers bring down these four-year-old kids. Pastor, you got to talk to this kid. And I'm thinking, how much trouble can this four-year-old be? Amen? And so you want me to sit and act mean to that poor little kid. And I have to put on my straight face, and I can't smile. Sometimes I just feel like cracking up laughing. But you got to correct this child. And you ask them directly, did you do this? No, I didn't do it. And I'm like, you're only 4 years old. You're already lying to me, for crying out loud. So it doesn't take long for a child to grasp the idea about telling a lie or not being completely truthful or honest. And by the age of four, they've got this down. According to a 2002 study conducted by the University of Massachusetts, 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. I was shocked. So I said, this can't be right. So I did a little bit more research on it and see what different surveys or different statistics show And across the board, it said every one of them was saying the same thing. 60% of adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without saying some kind of a lie. I thought, that's pretty sick. That's pretty bad. If we can't have conversation one with another and be truthful and honest about what we're talking about. And Mark Twain said this, a man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself a liar. I thought, wow, that's convicting. And so we need to be careful about this matter of being dishonest. You know, oftentimes we go, well, it's just a little white lie. No, a lie is a lie. And of course, Revelation 21 and verse 8, it says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth forever. And so it is important for us to instill in our children that they are to be honest, they're to be truthful, and we are, as adults, are to be honest and we're to be truthful in dealing with everything in our life. So here's the admonishment. That's number one there, fill in for you in your lesson. The Apostle Paul gives an admonishment to the believers at Ephesus. He says, put away lying and speak every man truth. And so he wants them to you know, identify the problem. He wants them to right away wake up and face the reality of what's going on. You need to put away the lie. You need to stop the lying. And then you need to immediately start speaking the truth. And so the admonishment, we see the acknowledgement of why we should put away lying and speak every man truth. Why? Because we are members one of another. And the interesting thing there, when it says we are members, it is carrying with it, the Greek word there is carrying the idea of the human body. You have members of your body. You have an arm, you have legs, you have a nose, you have ears, whatever. They're all attached together. And you cut any one of them off or you injure any one of them, the whole body suffers because of that. And so Paul is saying, no, wait a minute, you need to acknowledge the fact that we are members one of another. We are a part of the family of God. And when there is dishonesty and distrust among the members of the body, which is the church, because Paul's talking about the church in Ephesians, that it injures and it hurts everyone. So literally, he's telling them, you've got to put on the new man. The church is being injured by dishonesty. And whatever it may be, if it, you know, it's just dealing with your money, dealing with your children, being hypocritical in what you, how you present yourself when you come to church, how you interact with the unsaved and you're dishonest dealing with them. We just need to be honest people and be truthful about who we are and how we relate one towards another because of the fact the reality is we are members of one another. And because we are members of one another, then I've got to put off the former conversation. I've got to put off the lying from the past, and I need to put on the honesty and the truthfulness of the eternal Son of God. So literally, number five there, for your fill-in, good question here. How are you building positive, godly relationships? As we go through this series of putting on the new man, that's one of the things that we ought to be thinking about. It's not trying to make somebody feel bad. It's not trying to put somebody on a guilt trip. But rather, the reality is, if we are members one of another and our lives affect each other in the body of Christ, then am I willing to be honest with myself in reference to what kind of positive influences or relationships am I developing? It's amazing. It's very easy to develop negative relationships. It's very easy to be condescending. It's very easy to be hypocritical. But wait a minute, we're called to edify one another. We're called to encourage one another. So let's be honest with ourselves about what type of positive influence am I being with others? And then number six is another good question as we're going into this series. Are you developing Christ's likeness? Now, we have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ had a positive influence on those he came in contact with. whether it was the blind man or whether it was a woman caught in adultery or whether it was calling his disciples to follow him, whether it was the centurion that he heals his servant, whatever it may be, Christ always had a positive influence on those he came in contact with because he is the way, the truth. He was always honest. He did not present anything in a dishonest way to try to work the ends justify the means. He was always told the truth. He always presented the truth. He was never hypocritical in his presentation. And so he had a positive relationship with others. And that's what we need to do. We need to develop Christ-likeness. How you do that? By putting off the old man and by putting on the new man consistently every day in our life. And one of the areas where we start is with this matter of lying, where Paul starts here. So there's the negative domination of lying. In verse 25, it says, "Wherefore put away lying." And the way it is stated there, it's in reference to the fact that it becomes a dominating force in a person's life. You know, when you tell one lie, you generally have to tell another lie to cover up the lie you just said. And it's a snowball that builds and builds and builds. And if you develop a spirit where you just are being dishonest all the time, what happens is every time you get around somebody, you're going to be watching what you're saying because you got to remember what you told somebody else that wasn't truthful, and this person's friends with them, and you say there's something different to them, that you're going to be found out. And so it's a snowball that just gets out of control. It becomes a dominating thing in your life, someone who is constantly lying. And I've seen over the years dealing with different people, some people have a problem with that. They just will not tell the truth. And a lot of times our young people get into that trap and they just aren't honest about things. And, you know, I remember years ago I got in trouble. My dad told me, he said, "Boy, I'm going to tell you right now." He said, "If you did this thing, then you be honest about it. You speak up, you confess it, you acknowledge it, you tell the truth. You don't lie. You don't get out of trouble by lying. You tell the truth." And he said this, "If there's consequences, then you take the consequences like a man, but you tell the truth." And so I'm thankful for that experience because of the fact it's easy to allow lying to become the dominating factor in your life. And we have to be careful that we don't, as a Christian, continue that type of lifestyle. So first of all, why is that? Because it violates, you're filling is violates, it violates the commands of God. We know in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, it says we're not to bear false witness against someone. We're supposed to be telling the truth and not to, lying in order to get away with things or to get around things. A lot of times, you know, with our children, they get upset when they're in class and they plagiarize a paper. They get a zero on the paper. They're in danger of possibly being expelled from school. And the amazing thing is the parents get upset with us when we deal with that severely with a child who plagiarizes. It's a lie. It's not their work. And they violated the command of God. And so we need to really take this thing seriously here about being a new creation in Christ, that I understand that if I allow lying to dominate my life, I'm violating the command of God. But not only that, but it provokes the anger of God. Proverbs has a couple of great verses on this issue of lying in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. If I can get over there. There it is. "A proud look." Oh, yes. I don't know why I wanted to have that. Verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto the Lord." And of course, the first one on the list is a proud look, but the second one on the list is a lying tongue. And so it shows you how the anger of God is provoked because how much he hates this matter of dishonesty and lying. In chapter 12, In verse 19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but a moment. In verse 22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And so really, when you think about the domination of lying in our lives, it does not doesn't only violate the commands of God, it provokes the anger of God because it's an abomination before the Lord. And so certainly as a Christian, as a believer, I'm wanting to put on the new man. That is not something I want in my life in this matter of being lying or being dishonest. And so Isaiah 59:3, we see it also defiles the lips of man. Isaiah 59 and verse 3, Isaiah speaks to this matter of being dishonest. Says, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And it just have to be careful that we don't make light of this matter of lying. Please, with your children, your grandchildren, don't tolerate any lying out of them. Address the issue very quickly and severely, because of the fact it will become a dominating force in someone's life, that once they start becoming dishonest about things, they'll just continue broadening that to try to keep themselves out of trouble. And all it does is dig a hole that they never get out of. Need also remind ourselves that lying is authored, or we could have put in there, began with Satan. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. And that's the problem. He did not abide in the truth that was presented to him, in which he dwelt in when he was in heaven and separated from the God of all honesty and truth. Because there was no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so when we deal with dishonesty, we need to deal with it from the perspective that God gives us, that it becomes a dominating force because it puts you on a track of violating God's commands, that it's constantly provoking the anger of God, that the more you're involved with dishonesty, that it literally continues to defile you more and more and more, and you are following the example and submitting yourself to the power and influence of the devil himself. The devil is the father of all lies. The devil is the one who came alongside of Eve and said, oh, well, wait a minute, God, you know, God, surely you're not going to die. And, God doesn't want you to know that if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be as gods, your eyes will be open. I mean, everything about that discourse that Satan had with Eve in the Garden of Eden was all total, complete lies. And so he is the author, he authored lies is through Satan. He's the father of all lies. And so let's not make light of this dishonesty. Let's be severe in our approach about it, because it is something that is authored by Satan, but lying is also motivated by Satan. In Acts chapter 5, we know Ananias and Sapphira had sold a piece of land, and they lied about it. And Peter said this to them, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And so not only is lying generate, I'm sorry, that's my next point, energized, but anyway, not only is lying authored by Satan, but it is motivated by Satan. And I don't know about you, I don't want any area of my life that is being surrendered to the drive and the motivation of Satan. I don't want any area of my life to be consumed with dominance by Satan. And so I want to put off the old man. I want to put off the old conversation or lifestyle and constantly be putting on Christ Jesus and walking and living and being motivated by the presence of God. So lying is authored by Satan. It's motivated by Satan. It is energized by Satan. You know, I'm always amazed as I watch the news and listen to different clips and things that are going on. I mean, there's some people, they're going to have to answer to God about the energy of Satan's directing their conversations that are so dishonest. I mean, it's like every time you listen to a news article or read an article or whatever, and you just see all these spins that are put on things, and all of a sudden, you know, just bold-faced, deliberate lies, and nobody wants to confront somebody about it. You know, I just remember, you know, I don't want to get too involved with politics, but it's just interesting. You interview these different politicians, and they say, well, so-and-so didn't tell the truth, so you saying he's lying? Well, he just really didn't tell the truth or didn't tell. They won't say he's a liar. What's so hard about saying somebody's a liar if all they do is lie all the time? And there's so many people that are corrupt and so many people that are confused and so many people that are mixed up, and it's because of the fact just lies upon lies upon lies. Well, let me tell you, that's being energized by Satan himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so the energy that Satan has as the god of this world and moving through this world and dominating this world motivates and brings people to a position of just constant lying. That should not be in the Christian's life. That should not be in the church of Jesus Christ. We should not be dominated by lies. Wherefore, put off all lying. That's the negative domination. Notice the positive position of truth. Because Paul says, put away all lying. And he says this, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So there's a positive position that we take. And that just simply is that instead of telling the lie, I'm going to just tell the truth. And I think sometimes when you tell the truth, you have to be gracious in how you tell the truth. Jesus Christ was honest with us that we're lost and we're on our way to hell. We need to be saved. I just think of the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. It was very gracious. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus questions that, and there's a whole conversation in John chapter 3 trying to get Nicodemus to comprehend what it means to be born again. But I'm going to tell you, the whole conversation by Jesus with Nicodemus was absolutely honest. The whole concept about witnessing in many churches today and inviting people out to church is dishonest. It's presenting something that is not true to the scriptures. And I think we need to be careful that we replace lying with a positive position, which is just to be truthful. In Psalm 119, in verse 29, notice that it replaces the lie. A positive position of truth is just replacing the lie. Verse 1, you remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. And so there needs to be that removal of the lies. In other words, if you're having a problem with being honest, then just ask the Lord to help you to replace that lying with just being truthful and being honest. It is exercised, this matter of position of truth, is exercised by God's people. Isaiah 63 and verse 8, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie, so he was their savior. And it's an amazing thing that God over and over again identifies a sweet relationship that he has with his people. And Isaiah makes a statement that God acknowledges that his people would not lie. So let's just be honest in all that we do. It is enjoyed in the new man, this matter of position of truth, according to Colossians 3 and 9, lie not one towards another. Then he says, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And so, lie not one to another. Why? Because of the fact I have put on the new man. The old man has been removed. The new man has been braced. There is a life that is powerful because of the relationship that I have with Christ. And so I'm going to allow Christ to mold me into his image. And the more I become Christ-like, the less issues I'm going to have with being dishonest. Because I'm putting off the former lifestyle, I'm putting on the new. Well, it is, this matter of position of truth, it is the very character of God. Titus chapter 1 in verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, here it is, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. There is not one promise that's in this book that is dishonest or it's shaving the truth a little bit, or it's just trying to be politically correct. God is absolutely honest about everything. If it says, in the beginning God created heavens and earth, that's exactly what it is. It's not any other ways that all this came about. It came about because God created the heavens and the earth. And so God is absolutely honest with us. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so since God has called us to put on the new man, then I'm going to allow Christ to manifest himself in my life. It's a positive position. You don't have to run around worrying about what you said if you're honest. And I've had people over the years accuse me of all kinds of things, and I've said, that's not true at all. And I'm not scared of any accusation you want to bring against me because I don't lie about anything. And some people thought they could do that, and it didn't go very far. And so just be honest in your dealings. It's a positive position of truth. Notice it enhances our growth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so speaking the truth in love, it enhances our growth process, and God matures us because of the fact there is a deeper knowledge of who he is and how he works in our life. And so the positive position of truth. And notice it is a total expression of my mouth. In Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 6 through 9 speaks of the influence that truth has in your conversation. In other words, with your mouth, what you say. It says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Hallelujah, that we can have a positive position of being able to express that which is trustworthy and honest. And so a positive position. Notice it also demonstrates righteousness according to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17. Righteousness is just the fact that there is no evil or iniquity or wicked way. And if we are taking a position of truth, then we are going to be allowing the righteousness of Christ to manifest itself or demonstrate it through us. And people respond to somebody who just is honest or sincere. They can be trusted because of the fact they speak the truth. So it demonstrates the righteousness of Christ. Letter H there. It also demonstrates obedience to the Lord. This matter of embracing truth and just simply being honest. It is never a negative thing for us to be truthful. It is always a positive position, and so that's why Paul says you need to put away the lying, that negative domination that comes over us, and you need to speak every man his truth, because that's a positive position you have as you put on the new man. You're demonstrating and living out the character traits of the Son of God. Well, here's a personal application. He says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And he tells us why. Why make this practical application? For we are members one of another. Notice in Romans chapter 12, in verse 5, we need to acknowledge that we are one. And, we are many members, but we are one body. And Romans chapter 12, in verse 5, Paul reminds us, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And it is hard for us to be dishonest about one another when we realize that we are one. It is hard for us to neglect one another when we realize that we are one body and we're just members in the body. We're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have all different functions, but we must acknowledge we are still one body. And because we are one, then I need to make sure I hold a position that is positive. And that position that is positive is that I'm honest and I'm trustworthy in all that I do in relating to those that are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice there are also to act like we're one. You know, it's easy to state that we're one, but it's a challenge sometimes to act like we're one. I like what Galatians chapter 5 in verse 15 tells us. It says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out. You know, that's chapter 4. I'm like, that ain't the verse I want. Better get over to chapter 5. Amen. That's a good verse. We can preach on that a while, but anyway. Chapter 5 in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. And so we need to act like we're, you know, when the body hurts, everybody hurts. So we don't bite and devour. We don't destroy one another. We don't pass comments about one another. We don't demean one another. We don't lie about one another. We're not dishonest in how we relate and interact with one another. Why? Because we understand we are one and the same in the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So we need to act like we're one. Instead of acting like we're just this freelance Christian that runs around on our own and doesn't care about how we help or don't help someone else or how we build up someone or we tear someone down, we need to be careful about that because we are one and we need to do more than just acknowledge that we're one. We need to act like we're one. And then we need to aid each other as one. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8, we need to reach out and be an aid one towards another. Peter says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And so he goes on and says, not rendering evil for evil and railing for railing. So what do? We put on the new man. We put off the old way. You know, when somebody's unsaved, that's how the world acts. I'm going to get ahead, and I don't care who I hurt in the process. I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care who likes it or don't like it. If I got to be dishonest and I got to lie in order to get ahead, then that's what I'm going to do. That's not what a Christian does. A Christian is willing to acknowledge the oneness that we are in Christ, act like we are, and reach out and be an aid to each other. Here's a few quotes just to wrap up the lesson. I thought were very good. Speak with honesty, think with sincerity, and act with integrity. Well, I liked that when I came across that. And that's what we need to do. Our conversation needs to be with truth. And the conversation that we have that is truthful is based on the fact that we're sincere in reference to wanting to really be molded in the image of the Son of God and truly wanting to be a help to someone else. It's not a facade. It's not something that we put on our smiley face on Sundays and then we walk out and we're mad and contrary about everything. Act with integrity. But Dr. Ben Carson said this, people all over the nation are starving for honesty and common sense. And you see the political realm, you see what's going on, and you know, Trump's a lot of things, but I can say this, whatever he said he's going to do, he's been doing it. I might not like how he's doing it, and I might not like what he's doing, or whatever, I might not even be in agreement with him, but you got to give the man his due. He says, this is what I'm going to do, and that's what he does. So let's just be honest about who we are and what we're going to do. William Shakespeare said, no legacy is so rich as honesty. Charles Spurgeon said, sincerity makes the very least person to be of more value than the most talented hypocrite. So Paul challenges us, and I thought it'd be good to go through this portion of Scripture in dealing with putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And the first thing that he deals with is lying. And so let's be careful of how we communicate one with another. Let's be careful how we conduct business. Let's be careful how we deal with our finances, how we deal with our taxes. Let's just be people of sincerity and honesty in all areas of our life, and especially in reference to how we relate one towards another, because we are all the body of Christ. We're all the bride of Christ. And so let's be sincere and honest with each other. Why? Because we're putting on the new man. That's the character of Christ. And we want to be like Christ-like as we live our Christian life.